I am officially now behind the times. I have been labeled by my son Jordan to be stuck in my old ways. That's okay. I'm comfortable with that. It kind of arose out of a conversation in which he was talking about a new driving range, outdoor arcade type of experience, where you go and hit golf balls and the music is playing and they keep score of the shots you hit because there are electronic chips in the golf ball and they know where they went. And so it's like pinball on the driving range or something. And I guess it's fun, and I'll probably end up having to do it with my kids one of these days. But I told them I'm kind of stuck in the traditional way, that I don't need a target to hit it. I like the driving range with a green and a flag and no music and it's quiet, you know, that type of experience. And so then I was labeled kind of stuck in being in my old ways and kind of behind the times. But I'm okay with my own electronic device that I have. It's called a phone. But really, of course, it's more than that. And I like that, because not only can I use it as a phone, but I can email with it. That's often the best way to get in touch with me. Once in a while, I'll text with my family and a few others. I like the camera feature on there, in case I want to use that for something or another. And I can access the internet if I decide to do that as well. Probably my favorite feature on these types of devices is the GPS, because I never stop for directions. Now I don't need to. And so I can just look at my phone. And so I feel like because of that, I'm kind of a 21st century guy. But also I recognize there are a lot of apps and different things that you can access on your device that I have no idea and really no interest in. But one of the things these electronic devices encourage us and help us to do is keep in touch and to stay in contact. And it's kind of an ongoing, never-ending thing these days. And so what happens when you can't reach someone now? You begin to wonder about them. Maybe even worry or have some concern, because we've gotten in the habit and the practice of reaching someone in just a moment's notice, whenever it's convenient. When we can't reach someone, we kind of think and ask that question, well, how can you not keep in contact? Like it's kind of a character flaw when you don't answer your phone or keep in touch with all the different things, all the different people that might be trying to reach you. I don't feel the need to answer the phone every time it rings or chirps or plays music or whatever they do these days, nor to respond to an email right away or a text message necessarily, depending upon the content. But it seems like it's almost an expectation to reach someone instantaneously, that we stay in constant contact with one another, and that we're also recipients of constant information. As I mentioned last week, we had just returned from 5 days of backpacking in the wilderness. On the second day of our experience, we have the opportunity at the highest point of our journey to send a brief text message. Not a lot of content, but just to let our family know that we're doing okay. We've reached the middle of the second day, and we're doing all right. After that, there's no contact with us until the end of the fifth day, when we finally reach our car again and drive out of the wilderness area. This time when we were leaving, it kind of surprised me because Allison asked me, well, turn on the radio, let's check the news and see what's been going on. Surprises me on one level because she never checks the news. Maybe every 4 or 5 days or something like that. So I guess being that we were gone 5 days, that was about up to par for her. And she'd be interested at this time in seeing what had happened. And it's an interesting experience to have to be out of contact for 5 days, having no idea what was going on in the world, our community. And so then what did we miss? Well, we turned on the radio. There had been an earthquake in Nepal, and of course there was great tragic destruction involved with that. There were protests in Baltimore that had resulted in violence, and there was also potential terrorist threats or speculation about that, which is ongoing and can be expected. And so that was the lead stories of what we had missed. The importance of keeping in contact come from the words of Jesus. Then he instructs his followers to abide in me. Abide in me, Jesus says. I am the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. Therefore, I am the source of life and I am the source of growth. I am the source of a life that you cannot experience without a relationship with me. I am a source of life that is filled with hope and expectation of things to come. I'm also the source of growth and ways in which we can gain in our knowledge and understanding of what it means to be in relationship with God, to live with that assurance, to live with that promise. And the result then of that abiding and inviting in Jesus and being in relationship is then to bear fruit, the result of the relationship that we have. We might ask ourselves, well then, what does it mean? How are we to bear fruit? And we look at it in the sense that life is full of challenges. They're probably not extremely dramatic, most of the things that we face in our life, but yet that they are important. The decisions that we make each day have an impact on us. The actions that we have also affect us. Maybe in little ways, but yet they still may do. There's a story about a woman who called tech support. Many of you have had that experience now having computers and electronic devices of calling tech support. Her call was specifically about her inkjet printer. It wouldn't print yellow. And so the man she reached tried to help with all the steps that you go through and checking things and making sure things are set up and rechecking things and so forth. And it would print colors that were a combination of yellow, like green, but wouldn't print yellow. That was her concern. And the support person was befuddled by this. And they'd gone through everything he thought they could do, and he was just about ready to instruct the woman to take her printer back and exchange it for another one. When he heard the woman ask a question, maybe I should try white paper instead of yellow. So we face challenges in life, and we face struggles and questions and difficulties, and maybe they're not truly big, but yet they still affect us. And by abiding in Jesus, the instructions are then to live day to day and live out that relationship. Abiding with Jesus and being in touch, in contact, checking in with from time to time. And the evidence of that relationship, then, is witnessed in our ordinary living, in our day-to-day lives. People can witness the relationship that we have with Jesus because we're grounded in Jesus in our way of life and who we are and the things that we do, how we react and how we respond, what our outlook is. And so, then, we are a witness. We are a witness because we live with the hope of the gospel. We live with the assurance of good news, with words of forgiveness and the promise of salvation. That has an impact on who we are and how we look at our lives and how we face the challenges and the difficulties. That we are a people of good news, a people of joy. A people who have experienced forgiveness, are assured of salvation. Then abiding in that relationship, we also live with the well-being of our neighbors in mind. You can see that all the news reports that we heard of as soon as we turned on the news had to do with our neighbors. Fortunately, none of the news had to deal with Allison or myself. That was a good thing. But the news was about our neighbors in Nepal. The news was about our brothers and sisters in Baltimore. The news was about our neighbors. And as we abide in Jesus, as we live in relationship, we live with the well-being of our neighbors in the mind and in our hearts. And that we are to then bear fruit in assisting them in what we say and our words and what we do and our actions. There's a lot of good that is done in the world. There are a lot of wonderful, good people. But what distinguishes us in abiding in Jesus is that we feel we are called. Our actions and our words are a response to the love of God that we experience in our relationship with Jesus. We share that love with our neighbors and the things that we do. It is not proclaimed necessarily in big and wonderful ways, but is underlying in our lives. Abide in me, Jesus says. We will journey together. We will journey in relationship with one another. We all know what it's like to lose contact or to lose touch with someone. Often there are distractions in life that lead to those divisions or disruptions. And maybe we have a relationship that has less and less of an impact on our lives, maybe one that becomes fractured and even broken. And so it is with our own lives and our relationships with Jesus. We find ourselves often distracted and disrupted. Maybe the relationship has less impact than it did before. One of the wonderful things about our relationship with Jesus, He's like that relative or like that friend who you make contact with, who you've been away from for a period of time, and the relationship resumes and picks up right where it ended. The bond that had been formed endures. So in the coming days, when you use your electronic devices to make your calls and your emails and your texts, remember to make a part of your day a period of prayer or reading, reflection, or even listening. Just pausing without distractions or disruptions. For Jesus is that friend. Jesus is that one whom we have a relationship for which He is forever faithful. And He will tell us, yes, I know you've been busy. I know you've been distracted. I know you've had things on your mind. Just a reminder. Keep in touch. Amen.